Yeah, absolutely. I found some really exciting results that saltbush can be of benefit to both animal health and also improve meat colour.
So can you talk us through what did you actually do in this study?
Well, I had 200 prime lambs, or half of them grazed saltbush for 8 weeks over summer. And then at the end of this, they then went into a feedlot for 5 weeks. And at the end of that, they all went to a commercial abattoir, and we measured mainly vitamin E in them over that time.
And what did you notice with the lambs that had been fed the saltbush? What happened to their vitamin E levels?
Well, it was really dramatic actually, the difference between the two groups. The animals that didn't have access to saltbush were all vitamin E deficient, whereas those that had eaten saltbush, their vitamin E levels were improved by up to 4 times, and then these animals did not show any signs of vitamin E deficiency during finishing.
A fourfold increase. Were you expecting that?
We weren't expecting as a dramatic increase, but we expected that there would be some improvement. And we also found that animals that had eaten the saltbush, their levels did not become deficient during finishing. So this was really exciting because vitamin E is not stored in the animal for very long. So we expected that they would their levels would fall, but what's good for us is that these levels didn't become deficient all the way through to slaughter at the end.
Why is this important? I mean, what is vitamin E useful for in a lamb or a sheep?
Well, vitamin E, it's an antioxidant and it's an essential vitamin in livestock, and it's mainly found in green feed. So during winter, vitamin E deficiency is not a problem at all, but it's during summer, when animals haven't got access to green feed for long periods of time, that vitamin E deficiency can become a real problem. And it's common that especially weaners and prime lambs are likely to be deficient in vitamin E during summer.
And what are the symptoms if a lamb is deficient in it?
Well, ultimately, the vitamin E deficiency leads to muscle damage. So, skeletal muscle damage can show signs of, limping and a stilted gait. And it also can affect the heart muscle. And if that becomes severely damaged, then ultimately animals can die because of it.
So would they typically be the ones that farmers might describe as the runt?
Yeah, possibly. The kind of the ones with the gammy leg may very well be vitamin E deficient.
In feedlots, do they pay much attention to vitamin E?
Absolutely. It's lots of farmers and feedlotters pay a lot of attention to vitamin E because they think that giving a vitamin E drench or possibly an injection will improve feedlot performance. We haven't found this scientifically, but obviously deficient animals, we don't want animals to be deficient in vitamin E during feedlotting.
I'm intrigued though when you said when the lambs left your study and they went into the feedlot, their vitamin E levels then went down.
Yeah, it does. It falls quite rapidly because the animals, they can't actually synthesize vitamin E on their own. So as soon as that dietary source is removed, then the level falls quite quickly. But what was really great in our study and a great thing for saltbush as well is that they are able to store enough of it in their liver that can carry them through, well, in my study, for at least 5 weeks through to slaughter before there's any sign of deficiency.
So does that suggest to you that a feedlot wouldn't need a vitamin E drench if those lambs had actually been feeding on salt bushes in those early days?
Yep, I'd say absolutely. If you've had lambs that have got access to saltbush during summer, you probably don't need a vitamin E supplement, which obviously can save you time and money. I did give some of my animals a vitamin E drench, both those that had and hadn't eaten saltbush. And the drench really has only a very short effect because obviously you're giving a large dose and a lot of it is probably excreted by the animal anyway.
What ramifications do you think your findings have for WA's farming?
It's great to know that we could possibly use our saltbush plantations, and it's not necessarily just saltbush. It's the green feed that is important. So if farmers have planted other kinds of perennial shrubs that can be used during summer, then it's highly likely that they would be a good source of vitamin E as well. So we might be able to you know, think of these plantations of saltbush as a tool that we can use to provide a natural and effective and a cheap source of vitamin E for animals.
And vitamin E is not only important for keeping the lambs alive and healthy. I've read somewhere that it's also important for the actual meat quality, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the colour of meat that vitamin E is really important for. And obviously because, you know, as consumers, we choose meat based on the colour primarily. So meat that's higher in vitamin E actually is redder and stays redder for longer than meat that has lower levels of vitamin E.
And what about some anecdotal evidence from farmers who think that maybe the saltbush, maybe the vitamin E in the saltbush is responsible for better lambing rates? Any evidence to back those claims up?
Well, I haven't looked at that myself, but it's highly likely that could be a, you know, we could assume something like that might happen, which may be to do with the vitamin E as well, because young lambs, they need vitamin E as much as their mothers. So if they're born in autumn when there's no green feed around, they're likely to have problems with vitamin E deficiency as well. But a big thing in that, I would say, is that the shelter provided by shrubs like saltbush could help to improve lamb survival during those early parts of the animal's life.
Do you know if the vitamin E can be passed on to the very young lamb, either in the placenta or in the milk?
It doesn't actually cross the placenta, but it is transferred in the milk from the mother. So obviously she needs to have a good source of vitamin E during that early, in the colostrum especially, so in the very early stages of the lamb's life. So if a lamb is born onto dry pastures and the mother has not had any kind of vitamin E for quite a long time, then it's likely that the lamb itself and the mother will both be vitamin E deficient.
This is pretty exciting research, so much so that I gather you've been even talking about it overseas recently.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I was awarded, it's called the Mike Carroll Travelling Fellowship, and it was administrated by the Institute of Agriculture at UWA. And so I won some money that allowed me to attend two conferences, one in Norway, which was the European Association for Animal Production conference. I gave a talk there. And then I also went to Aberystwyth in Wales, where I attended another conference on herbivore nutrition.
And were people there interested in your findings?
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite interesting. At the one in Norway, I spent half my time explaining that some of the photos that I had where it showed saltbush growing in salty areas, I had to make very clear that that was salt, not snow, in the photos, because lots of the Europeans didn't quite understand the problems that we have with, you know, animals that might not have green feed for 4 or 5 months. But I definitely got some really good interest. And also a few people that are looking at organic research, so they were quite interested in, you know, obviously vitamin E from saltbush is an organic form, so they showed a bit of interest in it as well.
What do you mean by that, sorry?
The supplements that you'd give for vitamin E would be synthetic. So if you can find natural organic forms of vitamin E, so some people that were interested were looking at organic agriculture, and especially in Europe, because their agricultural systems are so heavily subsidised, and so that means they put a lot of inputs in. So organic agriculture is a little bit few and far between, because they can afford to feed their animals and supplement with, you know, lots of different synthetic supplements. So they were interested in that vitamin E as a natural source from plants like saltbush.
I'm assuming one of the direct spin-offs from this sort of research could be that if you have a farm and you have the saline sections of it, then it might encourage you to grow more saltbushes. But is there also potential for people to be growing a lot of salt bushes and even harvesting them for purposes such as what you just mentioned?
Possibly. And I think more so in the East Coast, lots of people have started to plant saltbush on not only their salty country, but on some of their really good cropping country, as I suppose a drought, you know, to be able to handle those drought seasons, because saltbush is very hardy and grows in very arid regions. And then some of these people are creating niche markets for their lamb meat and also the mutton as well, to sell to high-end restaurants as saltbush lamb or saltbush mutton and getting, you know, really a premium price for their lamb.
Is that happening in WA as well?
As far as I'm aware, we don't have anyone in WA doing that specifically, but I'd say that there would be a target for it. And I suppose a lot of our saltbush in WA is we've used it as a tool to revegetate areas affected by salinity. So maybe this will help to encourage people to maybe consider doing some more plantings or make the most of the saltbush that they might already have.
Well, Chelsea, thanks for chatting to us today and best of luck with the remainder of your PhD and maybe some follow-up studies.
Thank you very much.